He say, we're going to have a crown of life. It's going to be a crown. And whatever you, what all you want on that crown, you got to make sure that you start working for it right now. Because the Bible say you have what you say. If you want diamonds and rubies, start saying it. I want diamonds and rubies on my crown. And then work for it. And God will give it to you. You know? It says, consider what I say. And he says, it is the truth. Remember, make Christ's resurrection a chief theme of the gospel. This is the same word we have to do today. We have to remember to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Because how many know without him dying on the cross, being resurrected, and now seated on the right hand of the Father, we wouldn't even have a gospel. So this has to be our chief thing that we remember when we're teaching and preaching and we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We have to remember, first of all, we got to make Christ's resurrection the chief theme of the gospel. Without him, we would have nothing. And in verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bounds, but the word of God is not bound. Saints of God, you got to know that the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word. God's word is all power, and it cannot be bound. We might be bound. Satan might have us bound and in a stranglehold, but saints of God, God's word is not bound.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I'm grateful once again for us to look into the Word of God and see that God desires to say to his people. You know, we are living in terrible times, and that there's death and killing every day, not around the world, but right in our own city, right in our surrounding towns. And there is a reason for that, because men who do not honor God do not honor the law. And if they don't honor the law, then many things happen, but the result of that really is what God said it would be, that there would be destruction, and there would be repercussions for men's ways when they do not obey the law. Because what we have got to understand is the law is designed to keep order, to make sure that we are operating and functioning as a society that obeys the laws of the land, which have their root in the law of God, which brings about structure and order. And then we've got to learn that all of this is the way God keeps order and structure in the civil realm, in this earthly realm. Now, believers, listen, we know that the word of God is the highest law in the land. The word said, let God be true and all men be liars. God's word is the highest truth there is, but we honor that, and we especially trust God in all that God says, and it is our job to obey both the law of God and the civil laws in the land in which we live. Well, I want to start at Romans 13 and verse 7. Romans 13 and 7, but I'm going to just move from verse 1 through 7 as the Spirit of the Lord gives me liberty. Rita, I want you to get ready because I'm going to do a little reading. But Romans 13 and verse 7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute unto whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Doesn't say and, but honor is there. It falls in that flow. Now, there are four different areas that the Word of God says to render therefore all their dues. That means in all areas, all arenas, all avenues, there is a order. And I think it's important for us to understand that before we receive this statement, there is a structure and a standard by which God has set in place for us to obey and honor before we even get to verse 7. Begin at verse 1. Just read verse 1 first, if you will.
Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2.
No, that's good. Verse 1. Now, I want to establish something clearly first for us to understand this. Now, this is, Paul is, speaking to the church at Rome, but he's giving us an understanding of how civil government is established and structured for the civilization. But not only does this work for civil government, but it works for every government. It works for every organization, every structure. There must be this understanding that everybody who is in power because God permitted it to be so. I don't care what organization you're a part of. It may not be all the way up to government structure or standards. It may be a part of some local affiliation you are, but it has a governing body. Whatever that governing body is, everything and everybody, be it small or great, is there by the will of God. So why am I saying this? Because it's important for us to understand that people that God put in place, he has put in place for a season and a reason, and that when we honor them, we honor God. Verse 2, if you will.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God.
Okay.
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
All right. Here it is as Paul makes it clearer. Now, everybody is in position who's in position by the grace of God or the will of God, if you will.
All right, secondly, what he's making clear is these people who are in position must understand that they have a responsibility to God, but the people who are under them have a responsibility to obey them, to submit to them. And if they kick against the prick or if they kick against the structure, they're not just kicking against the people in the position, they're kicking against God. If they kick against God, then what they need to understand is that they're going to suffer the consequences because this thing is bigger than the people you see in the position. God has placed structure in order so that things will be done decently and in order. And so for those who won't do things decently and in order, God has a fix for that. Continue on, verse 3.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
All right, listen. Now, if you are a law-abiding citizen, you don't really have to fear the law or breaking the law when you are honoring the law, doing what's right by the law. You don't have to worry about the law. You know, if you're driving down the highway and the speed limit is 65 and you're doing 62, police pass on the side of you, you look and you look down, make sure you're doing 62. You're like, well, all right. You ride on down the highway. You look down, you're doing 67, 68, police coming on the side of you, come behind you. You know how you try to ease off that accelerator a little bit? Because you know you see them in your rearview mirror, and you know you're breaking the law, so fear starts entering in your heart. Because once you cross over the limit, the speed limit, that means you limit the speed to what the sign says, and if it says 65, then you ought not drive faster than 65. So when you drive 66, do you not know you're breaking the law? Well, I just went over 1 mile. Well, 1 mile is over the limit. So then the police has a right to pull you over. Now, generally they don't, unless they're being nitpicking, but generally they don't. Now, when you're driving 3, 4, 5 miles over the speed limit or higher, then you have a right, when you see the lights on, to be fearful of the fact that you're getting ready to get a ticket, you know? And then we get mad with the police. Well, why don't you go catch them criminals out there breaking in everybody's house? You a criminal? You breaking the law, you know? And so you don't need to have a fear of the law when you are abiding by the law. But if you are not abiding by the law, you have every right to fear, because they then have power to enact the law and to bring you under subjection to the law, because the law is already established. And when you got your driver's license, a part of that was understanding that when you got your license. So when you say, well, I didn't remember that, I didn't understand it, and what they'll tell you, ignorance is no excuse of the law. You live in the land, you must know the laws of the land. And so here Paul is simply saying, when we obey the laws, regardless of what those laws are, in what arena they're in, they all have consequences. If we obey them, then those consequences are of no consequence to us because we are law-abiding citizens. Verse 4.
Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
All right, listen now. Now, while we don't always see it in this context and we don't always see it in this light, those who are sworn to uphold the law and to do the right thing by the law is to keep law and order. When the order is not kept, the law then gives these ministers of the law, the officers, the law executors, if you will, the permission and the power to execute that judgment based on whatever the crime is. They then have to suffer the consequences of that. Here is the thing that I need you to see, that everyone, and I know I'm not just talking about police officers here, however, it's talking about everyone in every jurisdiction who carry out authority and who has the ability to enact penalty on persons who have broken the law, have not kept the law, violated the law. They are God's minister to bring judgment. The sword literally means that they have the power to be able to execute any form of judgment that is proper to the crime, to the to the person who has violated the law. If the law is violated by everyone, what good is the law? What good is our society? Can you imagine, you know, we talk about, and there are some corrupt law officials, let's be clear about that. But the law even deals with them as well. Those persons who do not honor their positions and their responsibilities, even the law deals with those. But primarily it's dealing with the people who purposely know that they're creating chaos, they are participating in crime, that they are doing things that they ought not do. Those are the ones who fear the officers and the people who are designed to keep law more than anybody else. When you don't do that, you don't have an issue with those who keep the law because you are law-abiding a citizen. But again, know their position according to Paul, according to the word. They are ministers of God. They're ministers of God. So all God's ministers are not in church. Those men and women are keeping law and order, which God has instituted as right, as decent, as what he consider in the civil law. And so when we recognize their position, we honor them, not just for them, we honor them because of who they honor and the law that they carry out, which is God's law, and to keep our society in a lawful state. Could you imagine living in today's time without any law? It was what the early Wild Wild West was. Everybody had a right to carry a gun, and if you got in an argument, it was about who could draw the fastest. Who could draw the fastest? And you've got to realize that without any law, people take their own law in their own hands. And their law can change from moment to moment. It's no structure, no standard. Well, I thought you said this. Well, I changed my mind. Boom. You gone. Well, who's going to say anything different? Nobody, because there is no law. And where there is no law, there is no transgression of the law. But when you have a law and one goes against that law, then he is in jeopardy of the judgment of that law. And so what it's teaching the people of God is, even though we are born again, children of God, filled with the Spirit of God, we live in a world where there are laws and there are structures and standards set in place by God and abide the order and structure of God that we must obey. And when we do our best to do the right thing by the laws of the land, we honor God. And that's why we've got to honor the people who honor the order and the structure and the laws of God, and not give them a hard time and not think evil of them, but understand they've got a job to do. Our military force, you know, they're there to defend our country, our values, our standards, our structures, our laws, us. And so when they go and they fight and they kill and some are killed, listen, that is because the Bible makes clear there is a time for war. There is a time for war. In other words, there are times when you have to defend what is right against those who are wrong, who want to destroy the realities of what God has placed for each of us to obey and to live peaceably with one another. And so just as they go on foreign battlefields and fight the enemy far away, there are those who are fighting the enemy right in our neighborhoods and right in our cities and right in our countries, and we've got to learn how to obey the law and honor them. Verse 5, I believe it is now.
Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
Listen, wherefore you must needs be subject. That means you've got to humble yourself and obey the law. Well, I'm a child of God. I don't have to obey man's law. I obey God's law. Well, if you obey God's law, then you're going to obey man's law. If man's law is in, of course, alignment with God's law. All right. And so as a citizen, law-abiding citizen, you will do what is right and you will subject yourself because God said to do it. And if you don't do it because you're scared, then you do it because it's the right thing to do. For consciousness sake, that's important. Because see, if your conscience convicts you, it doesn't matter what else the circumstances are around that. If you didn't do the right thing in your heart and you know you didn't do it, even if you get off and even if you're able to finagle the law and somehow come out unscathed, and your conscience convicts you by knowing that it wasn't the right thing to do, it wasn't the right way to do it, then you're still convicted by the law of God. So you're to subject yourself by the laws of God. Listen, just because I break the law and get away with it, have I truly gotten away with it? No. If I'm the Christian I'm supposed to be, isn't my conscience going to convict me? Isn't my conscience going to prick me? Isn't my conscience going to say, now you may have gotten away from man, but do you think you've gotten away from God? No, you have not. No, man may not have seen you. Man may not have caught you. But guess who saw you, and guess who you're going to have to answer to? To God. Verse 6.
For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing.
Okay. Now this is interesting, because what it's literally saying, that these men and women who serve, it's really talking about, again, keep in mind government structure. These are the people who work full-time in government. These are our legislative, our senators, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all up to our president. These people are ministers of God. They spend their time trying to set the structure, obey the structure, make sure that the laws are in place that are fair to the people of the land, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, he's saying it's right to pay taxes to them. It's right to pay taxes to them. Now, when you start talking about that, I mean, you know, there are tax codes which allow for certain deductions and certain loopholes, as they call it, within the tax code. If you follow the code, if you do what is right, then you have every right to take advantage of every tax benefit. But when you do not pay your taxes, then you are robbing the people who taxes pay salaries of. That's of your first responders. That's your legislative people. That's the people who fix your streets, pick up your garbage, et cetera, et cetera. When you begin to look at where those taxes go and how they come back to serve you, and when you don't pay your taxes and you rob the tax system of your fair share, then you're robbing the structure of God for how the structure is to be maintained. So when you are robbing the tax system, you are honestly robbing the structure of God, because all of these things are put in place to actually serve you, and the way that they are paid is by the tax or taxes that you pay from your labor. So it's God's got this thing fixed. It's all structured so that things will be done decently and in order, and that everything will have a balance in it so that life can be comfortable and right for us. And there are those who will give themselves to having decent salaries so that they can take care of the business at hand to make sure everything that is supposed to be right is right, etc. So we ought not argue and fuss about paying our fair share of taxes. That's important. I knew y'all were gonna get quiet right around here. The only time you get excited about taxes is if you get a refund. But other than that, you know, you blah, blah, blah. Well, but you have privileges also with your tax dollars. You have privileges. You have the ability to vote the right people in, to vote the wrong people out. You have the ability to vote for things that are right for your city, your community, to vote against things that are not right for your city, your community, for your state, for your nation. You have all of those privileges because of taxes. Now, that's why you've got to recognize that it's important that anything that's worth anything must be demonstrated in a tangible way. Even love demonstrate. How good is true love without any action? I mean, how many of us have been the recipients of people telling us they love us and ain't nothing behind that? Y'all getting quiet here tonight. Listen. Real love must produce actions, fruit. There must be a corresponding action with love if it is real love. The same thing with honoring those whom the Lord has put in place, who take care of us, who minister to us, who provide and protect us. All of those things they do, but there is a cost connected with that. And here the word says that you ought to honor them. And then we get to verse 7.
Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
All right, now listen at this, and I'm closing on this. Verse 7 says, render therefore to them all their dues. That means each one in each area deserves their dues. Their righteous due, give it to them. It starts off with tribute to whom tribute is due. You remember when the Pharisees wanted to catch Jesus, and especially about this issue of taxes. Tax has been an issue for the people of God for a long time. They just started. And they said they wanted to know if it was right for the believers or Christians to pay taxes to Caesar. Jesus said, give me a coin. And they reached Jesus a coin. And he said, whose inscription is on this coin? Well, they say, Caesar's inscription is on this coin. He
Caesar? Well, I tell you what, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for